Alleluia.
You will never be the same. You've touched His grace. Your life is changed. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace. Your life is changed. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace. Your life is changed. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace.
Father, we declare tonight in the name of Jesus that this will be our testimony in this conference. Inside, outside, following online, our hearts are open to receive. And we pray and we cry unto you, speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord put something, we'll be seated shortly, but the Lord put a message in my heart that I believe it is not only for this church and this conference. I think it's a very powerful teaching for the body of Christ. And so I'd like you to listen with your heart opened, and I pray that the truth here will set us on fire like the foxes of Samson. In the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 3. We're going to start tonight's teaching with two prayer requests. This is one. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 3. Someone prophesy. It says, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye not words. Turn it into a prayer in 1 minute. Lord, I declare that this level, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm tired of this spiritual level, this financial level. Someone is praying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye not words. Spiritually, financially, maritally, career-wise, in business. Take me to a higher dimension in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two, and then we'll sit. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it says, we were like them that dream, and our mouths were filled with laughter, and they said among the heathen that the Lord had done great things for them. He said, the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The request is, turn again our captivity like the streams of the Negev. Please lift your voice in 1 minute and ask the Lord to give you a visitation. Turn my life around in the name of Jesus Christ. Please pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, please be seated. God bless you. The laws of advancement. The laws of advancement. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. I'm teaching on the laws of advancement. These are irrefutable spiritual principles that are responsible for the advancement of men and women in this kingdom. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." God is a God that desires that we move forward, that we make progress, that we have notable results in our lives. John 15 and verse 8, he said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." God desires that we make progress. In fact, everything that is alive grows. Everything that is alive increases. Are we together? Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the Bible says, "And Jesus increased," or grew, "in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with men." Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, "The path of the just is as a shining light." It says it shines more and more unto the perfect day. So God is a God of advancement. Please understand this. It is His will that we make progress spiritually, financially, maritally, career-wise, all of the dimensions of your life, that we make progress. Let me share with you a scripture that has blessed my life. 1 Samuel chapter 12, please, and verse 6. Never forget this scripture for the rest of your life. Please read it. Ready? It's projected. One, two, read. "And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron." Stop. That means in this kingdom, men do not just move. When you see people move from one dimension of victory and exploits to another, the Bible says behind the scene, it is the Lord that advances men. So when you see your pastor moving from one level to the other, triumphing, that it is the Lord that advances men. No man sustains the ability in himself to make progress. You can be well-intentioned, but in this kingdom, it is the Lord that advances men. So behind every strange result that you see, behind the mysterious exploits and the rising of men in this kingdom that dumbfounds the wisdom of men, it is the Lord that advances people. The Lord is going to advance someone in this place. It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. You just saw Moses moving forward. You just saw Aaron moving forward. But the Bible is saying it was the Lord. That means when we see you moving forward, that by April, you turn back and it looks like 10 years was put in 1 year. When people ask you and say, I the last time I met you, it was not like this. Spiritually, financially, you will refer them to this scripture, that behind the exploits of the saints, it is the Lord that advances men. Hallelujah. This is very powerful. God is a God that operates by laws and systems. Please look up. The character of the kingdom is such that you will hardly find God do the same thing twice in scripture. The first thing God does or introduces to men is the model of what He wants to do. In everything He does the first time is a seed and a pattern for the continuity of that result. So when He wants to make man, He makes the first man, the first woman, and never has to make man and woman again. He created a pattern. Are we together now? So that every time you want more men, you subscribe to the law. Are we together now? God has not had any cause to create plants and animals again, because He made them and weaved in them a pattern and a system. God is a God of systems. And if you do not understand His methodologies, you may never enjoy the rich benefit. Even though you are a partaker of that life, you may be alienated from the life of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Ephesians 4 and verse 18. Are we together? Yes. So we need to understand the systems of God, and He operates by laws, spiritual laws. Advancement in the kingdom has laws. There are spiritual principles that when we walk in keeping with those principles, inevitably, let me say this before I begin to just share, there are three levels of experiencing the power of God, or the power of God is vested upon men in three levels. Number one, there is the dimension of the power of God that comes through encounters. When you encounter God, there is a dimension of His power that is invested in encounters. If it is the God of the Bible you meet, you will never be the same after you meet Him. There is a dimension of His power that comes upon you. Number two, there is a dimension of the power of God that is invested in laws and principles. Please understand this. The power that makes laws and principles work is still the power of God. So there is a dimension of the power of God that is invested in laws and principles. You do not have to acknowledge God to access that power. You just have to understand the laws. Are we together now? So you can deny God, you can reject God, and yet because you understand the principles, the power was designed to be released at the instance of understanding. The moment you understand the principle that governs that spiritual process, the power of God is released. It is at this level that principalities and powers and all kinds of sects, religious sects, seem to be able to tap into spiritual power. It's at that frequency that there is a dimension of God's power that was invested in laws, and knowing Him was not a condition to release that power. Understanding His principles is what releases the power. Number three, there is a dimension of God's power that is invested through covenant with men. This is not for everyone. You partake of that dimension of power to the degree to which you align with who and what God is doing per time. So if there is something prophetic God is doing with your pastor, listen to me. There are certain covenants that he can have with God that makes for certain possibilities in this assembly. You will be surprised that even before you understand the principle responsible for that result, you will already be enjoying it, because you are enjoying the dimension of power that comes through God's vow and God's covenant with a man. There are people, before you started tithing, God started prospering you. Even before you understood what you were doing, before you started giving, before you started committing yourself, it was because God had a covenant with a man that anyone who comes under your spiritual influence will benefit from that which you have with God. I said all that so that you will understand that the principles of the kingdom, spiritual laws, are powerful. They are irrefutable. When you read Genesis 11, the Bible talks about Nimrod, the son of Cush, his desire to build a city whose tower and the top will reach the heavens. In that story, Satan was not mentioned. In that story, the Holy Spirit was not mentioned. Yet God testified that he was the only one who could stop what they were doing. Laws are powerful. You will tame life when you understand spiritual laws. Hallelujah. The laws of advancement. Write this down. Growth and advancement in this kingdom must be intentional. There's no assumption as far as growth and advancement is concerned. It must be intentional that I desire to live this level spiritually. I desire to live this level financially. You will be amazed at how many people who hope to move forward, they wish to move forward, they believe that just because they are in Christ, one day automatically they will move forward. The only dimension of growth that looks automatic is your biological growth. Every other kind of growth must be initiated intentionally. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. And because you see, the principle of fulfillment is such that it is in your growth and progress that you find fulfillment. When you find fulfillment, you find fulfillment as you move, as you make progress. You will celebrate having a beautiful house now and having the money to pay for that rent. But after a few years, you will start getting angry that you're a tenant. You see that now? Something you once celebrated will no longer bless you again because there is an instinct for advancement. As a man of God, you will operate at a frequency in ministry and you'll be happy for a while, and then later a dissatisfaction is in your spirit. God is a God of advancement. I want to share with you a few principles. I've had the privilege to glean from the wisdom of the word and the wisdom of uncommon mentors. What you are learning, I submit to you, are not the opinions of men. It is dangerous and even destructive to teach you opinions. The truths that I share with you are irrefutable principles guarded by God's own jealousy. From whatever point you are, if you walk in keeping with these truths, I give you a guarantee as touching the name of the Lord, you will never remain where you are. And believe me, I say it with all humility. I know what I'm saying. I'm not teaching you nonsense. He said, the things we have heard, the things we have seen, the things that our hands have handled, even of the word of life, that is what we communicate unto you. So can you pray one more time? Open my eyes, oh God. Let me see. Open my eyes. In the name of Jesus. The laws of advancement. Hallelujah. When I found out the systemic character of God, it changed my life. Because my spiritual background was such that I came from an evangelical background. Then when I began to have encounters with God, I was amazed that I was knowing Him, getting deeper in the things of God, but in a shocking way, the quality of my life did not change, regardless of my encounters. The only benefit I was receiving was spiritual benefit in terms of my knowledge of God. But the quality of my life, my influence, and I said, something is wrong. How could I be having such profound encounters with the God of the Bible and yet my life would not change? Until I was introduced to the systemic character of God, that there is Jesus the way. Everybody say it. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you know the truth, wonderful. If you know the life, wonderful. But I introduce to you in this conference, Jesus, the way, the methodology of the kingdom. It is still Jesus. Many people do not know Jesus the way. And if you do not know the way, then you don't know how results are obtained in this kingdom. The dimension of Jesus that reveals how results are obtained is called Jesus the way. The way to growth, the way to increase. Are we together? Very quickly, let's conserve time. The first law of advancement that I want to share tonight is called the law of vision. The law of vision. Please pay attention. The law of vision. Jeremiah chapter 1, please, from verse 11 and 12. The law of vision. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see, but this is what I see, the rod of an almond tree. Verse 12. Then saith the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten. My God. So there is a relationship between speed and vision. The moment you see well, you compel speed in your life. Because you have seen correctly, I will hasten. I was going to perform it anyway, but on the strength of the clarity of your vision, I will hasten my word to perform it. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Genesis chapter 13, we're discussing vision. The Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northwards and southwards and eastwards and westwards. 15. It says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give and to thy seed forever. Not the land that is available, the one you see is the one that is given to you. There's vast land available, but as far as your vision can capture, that is what will be delivered unto you. What is vision? A clear picture of the next level of your life, a clear picture of your destiny. This is very powerful. There are many well-meaning believers born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they have ignored the power of vision to the detriment of their progress. Vision is powerful. A clear picture of the next level of your life. It is in this area that both science and religion agree that without vision, there is no movement. Motion is a function of vision. There is no car that does not have a provision to look at. There is no plane, no matter how managed, they must give space, because sight is what controls movement. The pilot must see, the driver must see, the captain must see. I don't know any creature that has his eyes backward. Every creature I know has the eyes forward, because you only move in the direction of your eyes. Vision is powerful. Please listen carefully. The vision for my life. This ministry continues to make giant strides in the spirit because your pastor has a vision, very clear vision. Are we together now? Now, as powerful as vision is, it does not profit you just remaining as vision. You must break your vision into goals and break your vision into daily tasks. Until your vision becomes daily tasks, it will only remain a dream in the realm of the spirit. There are people who have done well in terms of writing a theme that seems to coordinate their lives, but were unable to break the visions into goals. What is a goal? A desired end, an expected end. A subset of that vision. And you break it into tasks. There is an energy, there is a power that vision gives. When you break your vision into tasks, it gives you focus. Vision gives you the legitimate ground to say no to many things. There are many things you will not be able to have the courage to say no to until you have vision. Vision gives you the legitimate ground to say no to many things. If you're not a man of vision, you are not a woman of vision, you will not have the courage to say no to so many things. And there are many things. 24 hours was given to you with respect to your vision. So time will never be enough to mix your vision alongside many distractions. You will have to cut away so many things to give you the time and to give you focus. Can I tell you this? The unit of destiny is time. Whatever you give your time to, you are giving part of your life to. And you must be sure that every minute and every second you commit to anything is worth that while. Everybody say vision. Show me a man who has nothing working in his life but vision. I show you a man who is already walking his way to a dimension of kingdom influence, dimension of grace that no principality and power can stop. Vision is powerful. I do not know any leader who is not visionary. Even the devil is visionary. He has been clear about his assignment. Even Jesus testified about the dexterity of Satan's assignment, that anytime you see him, he is there to steal, to kill, to destroy. There's no record of him coming to advise. There's no record of him coming. Anytime the thief cometh not, that means he has no business coming except this singular vision. No wonder he seems to be succeeding. The law is so powerful. Vision. Could it be that we are where we are right now because we are hoping God will find a way of just lifting us? Very, very spiritual, but very wrong. Some of those superstitious thinkings, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, be delivered from it now. We have many sociological wise sayings. They look spiritual because they've been handed down by well-intentioned people. But these things are, they give access to the devil to blind our minds and our progress. One day it will better. You've heard that kind of saying. I know my God is too faithful to just leave me like that. You are right. But with respect to this truth, you are wrong. I introduce to you the God of systems. Hoping that your life will change just because it's alive. Let me tell you this. There are many children, there are many people who are dying. If God were to act, he would attend to them first before he comes to you. Even at the detriment of your eternal salvation, he did not interrupt your choice. There are people today who woke up this morning, but as we speak, they are in hell now. And yet God is still seated on his throne. So hoping that one day something will just happen is a joke. You have to prophesy to yourself, myself, wake up. One day I will have a global ministry. One day in the name of Jesus, I will bless people. Wonderful. Congratulations. Except for the fact that it will only remain a wish in the realm of the spirit. Let me tell you the difference between a wish and a goal. A wish is a desire with no responsibility commitment to it. When you set a goal, it is a strong desire that is backed up with the willingness to commit whatever it takes under God to actualize that goal. Responsibility is the key word. If all you have is just a desire, it will never come to pass. Your desire must be able to sponsor the willingness to pay whatever price under God to see that it comes to pass. Are we together? You call it gaining momentum. So where the plane is only warming up. Vision. I am amazed, Pastor, at how many Christians, respectfully speaking, live absolutely visionless lives. People just move up and down and blame God for everything. When they can't see God, they blame pastors who they can see for everything, and then blame parents, blame every. Now, I understand that sometimes these things can be emotionally overwhelming, but the day you start moving forward is the day you take responsibility over your destiny and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm tired of giving excuses. In the name of Jesus, I'm tired of legitimizing the continuity of mediocrity and weakness in my life. I respect and I sympathize with your background. I sympathize with the fact that you came from a family that was not very responsible. I sympathize with you, but wake up. From where thou art, lift up your eyes. For as long as you keep looking down, you will soon find your children looking with you. You will soon find your grandchildren joining them to look with you. Many of our parents, respectfully speaking, kept complaining until we now join them in that complaint. You make up your mind in this conference that my children will not find me there. In the name of Jesus Christ. There are few people, historically speaking, who had the leverage to be able to rise to positions of influence and notoriety. Most people had to speak to themselves right from where they were. You ask your pastor, he will tell you that there were times he had to just shut away and say, look, it's time for us to move forward. I remember talking with a man, very great and influential man, and this man told me, Apostle, would you believe that as at the time I married my wife, I had to give her one of my big shirts when she was pregnant. That means you remove your shirt and say, wife, there's no buying, you know, those gowns. Said, I don't have the money for that. Don't expect anything there, but thank God I'm bigger than you. We can make do with this. The Lord will prosper us in the future. Now, that man would have given a careless excuse and now mentored the child and say, young man, let me tell you how you arrived. Let me tell you the story. And the child, in anger and pain, will remain there, become a teenager, become an adult, marry his own wife and say, don't blame me for being irresponsible. I'm continuing something. There is a history to this. There has to be someone who will break that cycle. And it comes with the power of vision. What seest thou? As for me, I see a life of glory. In the name of Jesus, I see an opportunity to wake up every morning, transforming a generation, blessing a people. For someone, you are seeing a company that God has been speaking to you. You have refused to write it. You have refused to take it serious. The Holy Ghost works like a woman. If he tries to give you his attention and you ignore it, he will step back until he discerns seriousness from you again. Many of you, the reason why God stops showing you certain things is because he trains that you don't take his speaking serious. Abraham, come out of your father's house. The first assignment is come out. Come out of your father's house. He came from a land of wizardry and witchcraft, or of the Chaldeans, and he called that traditionally. He said, come out of your father's house, from your kindred, from everything, to a land that I will show you. The transformation started when he changed what he was seeing. May grace to be visionary rest upon your life. Hear me. You may be in that one room now. There's no point faking what can be real. Just be patient with your destiny. You see, the powerful thing about vision is that it has the power of omnipresence. You can be in a room and your vision can be where you will be tomorrow. The imagination is powerful. It can go. You can't. Listen. Your vision works with your imagination, and it can go to your future. Make sure it supervises that future is real. It will come back and take your body there. Are we together? Vision. Let's hurry up. Number two. The second spiritual law that governs advancement in this kingdom, law of light, the power of spiritual illumination and insight. Please pay attention. In this kingdom, we rise by the light that we possess, the law of light. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul was mentoring the church in Colossae, and he was praying for them. And he desired that they might be filled with three dimensions of light. Number one, the knowledge of God's will. Number two, all wisdom. Number three, spiritual understanding. It takes light to rise in this kingdom. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul said, I went up by revelation. Galatians 2:2. I went up. It took more than desire. From where I was, I went up, and it was revelation that took me up. I went up by revelation. Light is powerful in this kingdom. Psalms 45 and verse 4. And in your majesty, he says, rise right prosperously because of truth. And in your majesty, rise prosperously. Triumph, move forward. Because of the truth that you know. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. Very, very humbling scripture. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. The labor of the foolish wearied every one of them. There's no exception to it. The labor of the foolish wearied every one of them. Because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Not because there is no city, The city is there, but the method to get there. Have you climbed a bike with someone who looked so confident and he said, take me somewhere, and the guy was speeding as if he was going to kill you, and then he said, where did you say you are going again? I know it's where. And he said, I thought you said you know the place. He said, well, mention the name again. I think I'm and he said, so where were you going with this kind of speed? Light. Listen, every dimension of result in the kingdom has a light and illumination component that connects to it. If it's finances, there is a dimension of spiritual truth that connects to it. If it is speed, if it is restoration, if it is influence, all of these facets of results have an exact body of spiritual knowledge allocated to them. Are we together now? Can I tell you this? Our knowledge of God is, our pursuit and the knowledge of God is infinite. Even in heaven, we'll continue to be learning God. But the keys that make for a successful life are finite. You can hold them. They are not infinite. You can actually hold the keys that make for a successful life. There are many, but they are finite. Are we together? Like a student, learning never stops. But when you went to school, there was an exact curriculum allocated for the degree you went to get, isn't it? When you exhausted it, they gave it to you. So you can beat your chest and say, I am a doctor, or I am a this and that. It doesn't mean your learning has stopped, but you have exhausted that curriculum. There is an exact body of knowledge that is responsible for specific spiritual outcomes. You want to rise financially, there is an exact body of knowledge allocated. You want favor upon your life, there is an exact body of knowledge. Isn't it amazing that many times we desire outcomes without the knowledge that connects us to them? For instance, if it is favor you want to see in your life, why am I not seeing favor? I know the Bible says I should be favored, but why is it not working? Because you do not understand the dynamics that make for favor. Light. So Apostle, what are the laws that govern favor? For instance, just as if I desire favor, just wishing and hoping that favor will come, I would frustrate myself. I have to learn the principles that control favor in this kingdom. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21, I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Are you seeing now? Favor is a product of light. Favor works with sight. I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty. So emptiness has an explanation. When your hand is empty, it's not a happenstance. There is an exact spiritual law you are violating that leads to emptiness. Are we together? Apostle, why am I not favored? Because for many of us, you think, oh, if God just wants to favor me, he will favor me. And I've respectfully observed in the body of Christ that the definition of favor, you know, many times we say favor is unmerited. I understand what you are trying to say, but the truth is that it is the dimension of favor that works as unmerited access with respect to salvation that is unmerited. Favor is very merited. I'm just using favor as a case study to explain light. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. This is the law that controls favor. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Read with me, please. One, two, read. So the Bible gives us the similitude of two pregnant women. The first woman is called good understanding, and that she has a child in her womb. When she gives birth, the name of that child is favor. There is also another woman called transgression. She gives birth, the name of her child is hardship. So when you see the child, no child falls from the sky. There is a mother that gives birth to that child. Theoretically speaking, the womb of a woman should be able to give birth indefinitely, isn't it? That means you can program favor again and again. I've told you, if it happens only once, it's breakthrough, not favor. The proof that it is favor is consistency, regardless the circumstances. So many people have not really experienced favor. So hoping that it will happen, you will just testify once in 4 years, once in 5 years. What happened to you is not favor. What happens to you is the law of time and chance, because it happens to everybody. You can choose and program favor over your life, and it happens every time. You will get to a point where if in a day you are not favored, you go on a retreat because you know something is wrong. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Good understanding is what gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Favor works with the power of sight. Let me tell you this. If the grace for favor is really on you, believe me when I say this, the only person who cannot bless you is a blind person. Favor works with sight. That's how it works. Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's hurry up. Is God helping us? Esther chapter 2 and verse 15, the B part, please. And Esther obtained favor where? In the sight of how many? All them that looked upon her. So if the favor of God is on you, if I can look at you, that grace will compel me to attend to you. It's true. It's true. This is scripture. Not even the king could withstand it. Verse 17, give us the same scripture. Esther 2 and verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor where? In his sight. I've told you favor works with sight. When favor is on you, you activate the principles. It's a charm-like, compelling force that people just look at you and they are compelled to want to bless you. Can I tell you the truth? Everybody is a giver. It's just that what is on you is not sufficient to compel the resources, because an uncle who vowed that he will never help you will carry the same seed and kneel down before a man of God and say, give me an honor of taking this, whereas it was one-fifth what he's giving that you were asking for. Everybody is a giver. It's just that you program your possibilities by yourself. The power of light. Go and get pastor's tapes. Get the CDs. Don't say I was there when they preached it. Is this kind of carelessness that makes us to be around miracles and never experience it? I listen to my own teachings as if I was not the one who preached it. I don't listen to it with the arrogance of, oh, I know this. No. When Joshua Selman is blessing, I go down on my knees and I receive it too. Believe what I'm saying. This is why most people who are members in a church, usually they are the ones who don't receive. So people just come because the people come with hunger and passion. They buy all the tapes. They say it's an honor. You mean I'm meeting Pastor Kingsley? Please, I have discerned that there is a grace for favor. Let it come upon my life. Yet you are the one holding the water like the wine presser, the butler, and yet it never blesses you. Are we together? Light, discernment. Make up your mind that you will be a student of knowledge. Knowledge first before clothes. Knowledge first before luxury. Invest in knowledge. What you have, you have. The law of light. Let's hurry up. Number three. Wherever we stop, we'll just pray for tonight. The third spiritual law that governs advancement in this kingdom is called the law of transformation. The power of a transformed mind. You want to make progress. You want to move forward. You have to sustain a superior belief system that is higher and greater than the context of culture, the context of your background. This is where many well-meaning believers, we refuse to transit mentally. We are loyal to belief systems that are destructive, satanic. Do you know your mindset is the gateway that both the Holy Spirit and demons flow through to access your life? Are we together? Transformation is very, very powerful. Very, very, very powerful. There are many believers who have refused to be transformed. And because of their refusal for transformation, they find out that they are unable to walk in the fullness of that which God desires. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, please. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, look up please, so is he, not so he will be. You are already it. Your thought life, your mindset, your perspectives. Write this down, please. Let's talk a bit about mindsets. If this is where I stop tonight, it is too important to be brushed. Write this down. A mindset is a sustained thinking pattern. A mindset is a sustained thinking pattern. It is a viewpoint. It is a perspective. Your mindset talks about your ideologies, your value systems, your thinking pattern. Let me define what a stronghold is. A stronghold is a mindset that has been fortified by the presence of demon spirits so that the victim is kept perpetually in that line of thought. It is that spiritual condition that makes the word of God of none effect. That means what the devil does when he wants to destroy you is to bring informations that are based on lies, informations that are not consistent with the character of God. They may be sociologically right. They may be thoughts that you are familiar with. When he finds out that those thoughts are crystallized in your mind, demon spirits come to build a wall around that mindset to ensure that there is no other way you think, because your thinking is what keeps the door open for their operation. The Bible says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." That means what follows you is a report card of what you believe. You don't drive what follows you, you change what you believe, and what follows you changes too. You see that now? These signs shall follow them that believe. So what is following me is following me because of what I believe. Failure, retrogression. You have a relationship in 2 weeks, all your friends just hate you and leave you. Everybody, you've given excuses that everybody hates you. The signs are following you. You don't say, "Go, I don't like you." That's not how you drive them. You change they are coming in honor. Something in your mind is attracting them. When you become disloyal to those faulty belief systems, the signs also change. Are we together? Mindsets are formed through cultural influences. Now, there are positive aspects of culture.